Hey, we do want you around. It is the International Punk Supply Radio Show, the only radio show dedicated to bringing you the greatest punk hits. Today we got on the mics DJ Better Yet.
Eric Gutsarin from Valparaiso, Indiana. Happy to be here today.
Hell yeah. DJ Little Tokyo.
Yo, what's up?
And the one and only DJ Hollywood. Guys, I actually saw the Hollywood sign the other week, a couple weeks ago. We hiked up there.
Beautiful. Oh, that's good. That's good. You know, I saw Bowling for Columbine, man. I heard that you can't even see that shit through the smog. It's good that you got up there, dude.
Yeah.
Was that your first time?
First time.
Not my first time seeing Bowling for Columbine, though. Watch it all the time.
It's my favorite movie.
Yeah, mine too. Mine too. I put it on. Put it on whenever my wife and I want to get making out. I'm just like, let me throw on Bowling for Columbine, babe.
Nice. I'm more of a Roger and Me kind of guy, but you know.
Yeah, dude, Roger and Me gets me horny too.
I haven't thought about either of these in forever. Fuck.
Well, it's great to be back on the International Podcast Supply, y'all. It's
the podcast supply?
The podcast supply of podcasts. I'm so excited to supply all of the nations of our world with some great music from the likes of Guided by Voices. And who knows what's to come, y'all. Thanks for joining us here on the International Radio Punk Supply Podcast of the Hour.
That's right. We just heard Pimple Zoo from the one and only Guided by Voices off the record, Alien Lanes. Saw Tony Molina recently, and he covered that track, the very tail end of the set, and made me go, oh, damn. It was so, so great.
That rules.
Yeah, and it was even better because, like, they kind of made it, you know, he's got a little metal crunch to his sound,
mm-hmm.
And they threw that in the mix, and it sounded so stupid.
Dude, that fucking rules. I saw the Tony Molina band play Char Cardinals by Guided by Voices, which is only about a minute long, but they really extended that last chorus line and then threw in an instrumental, turned it into just like, you know, as opposed to a 1 minute song, like a 2.5 minute song, which is, as far as Tony Molina goes, he pretty much played Cortez the Killer.
That was, other friend, host DJ of the show, Diego, was with us, and he was just like, yeah, every song kind of sounds the same, but I'm with it.
Dude, hell yeah, like, hell yeah.
He's a convert.
Like, yeah, he was a convert, because they played so many sick, sick riffs, and you can't deny it.
Dude, that fucking rules. Also, like, Tony Molina comes from, you know, the Latin Mission of San Francisco. He's fucking representing, like, Latino culture in that place where it's getting pushed out by tech motherfuckers, which, by the way, I'm a full stack developer, timcrispdev@gmail.com if you need a website. But had to be cool for Diego to see someone like Tony up there fucking rocking out.
He had seen him before.
Yeah.
He was not impressed. So maybe he just wasn't in the right headspace.
That's fucking hilarious. If Diego needs further inspiration, there's a quote that lives forever in my head from when I interviewed Tony Molina on Better Yet, and he said, anybody who brings up that fucking Santana and Rob Thomas song when they hear the name Carlos Santana is fucking racist against Latino people. And I was like, goddamn right you are.
Well, speaking of Tony Molina, the next track we're going to play is from the opening band. They're Monster Treasure. They're from Stockton, California. The song Neon Garden. Hit it.
Yeah. or it won't happen again. I'll keep my mouth shut. I'll keep my mouth fucking shut.
That was Bitter Branches, the song Along Came a Bastard. Off the record, Your Neighbors Are Failures. Right before that, we heard Crime of Passing, the song Off My Shoulder. Off the record, Crime of Passing. And we started that off with Monster Treasure, the song Neon Garden.
Dude, to start from the top, can't believe that... What? I'm sorry. Monster Treasure? I wrote Neon Garden down. Yeah, I can't believe that band opened for Tony Molina. Insane. It's like they've heard Dinosaur Jr. before.
You know, I was going to bring this up. The way that one of the vocalists, she was also the bassist, played bass was so similar to Barlow.
Oh, really? Oh,
cool.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Like, she was like playing it like it was a guitar.
Dude,
like, she had like
yeah.
that like... That like just like rhythm down. It was so cool to watch.
Was her hair covering her face? The way Lou Barlow's hair covers his face when he plays. The only time I saw Dinosaur Jr., like you couldn't see Lou Barlow's face at all. It was just like hair all down the front of it. It was great.
When did you see them?
Oh, yeah.
I saw them when I moved here.
Oh,
I saw them at Summer Sonic. It was like a all-night festival thing. It kind of sucked, but I went for Dinosaur Jr.
That's really cool.
But yeah, it was like 2016.
Hell yeah.
I've seen them a couple times now, but the one that stands out the most, I think it was Steve Gunn was opening for him at the Metro, and I got a great spot to sit with my dude Matthew, not sit but stand, which was directly in front of Jay and that wall of amps. But I spent the entire show turned 45 degrees so that I could just stare at Lou, because he was so captivating to watch. Just like you said, Joey, couldn't see his face the entire time. He was wearing some real big like winter socks. And I distinctly remember that he had like a button-down shirt, long sleeve that he was wearing that was buttoned up. And then over that, it was like the same button-down shirt, maybe a size larger, that he was wearing open like a cardigan. And I was just like, that's the fucking coolest thing that I've ever seen.
I love Lou so much.
Dude, I love Lou too. And you know what, Pat? You really, really put Lou in front of me way back when on your Blogspot when you talked about Sebado Bake Sale. I was like, man, Pat loves this record. And have to say, I became a Lou guy pretty soon thereafter. Love Jay.
Hell
but-
yeah.
I'm a Lou guy. You got to
I know. Be. I know. Bake Sale is undeniable. It's so good. So, so good.
Yeah,
I mean, I love it when a bassist can play like that. Joey, like when TJ would play with Poison Planet.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude,
he
I know.
Bass with them.
Yeah.
Like he had like that same like guitarist rhythm or like attack to playing bass. I love watching that.
Mm-hmm. Very, very cool stuff. And, dude, Stockton, California, not the type of place that you think of first when you think of cool bands from California. So, fucking hell yeah, representing the North.
Well, but Pavement is from Stockton.
Good point. Good point.
So maybe you do. Anyway, either way. Glad
Guns N' Roses, L.A. Tony Molina, fucking West Bay. So, yeah, dude, Stockton... It's got Pavement, and now it's got Monster Treasure.
Monster Treasure.
Monster
Treasure. Did you like that?
Yeah, I did. I liked that a lot. So, like, the very, very beginning, the intro reminded me of the Gin Blossoms for some reason.
Oh.
And then I was just like, but like that was where it kind of ended. But I was just immediately was like, oh, okay, cool. And put me in a good mood for the rest of the song, which I thought was good. So
yeah, they were just great. Like 20 minutes, just straightforward, fuzzed power pop set. And the drummer actually reminded me of the way that you play drums too. So there's that.
Ah.
Oh, we played like
in a shitty way.
Insanely low stool. Like, what are you doing, dude? Is that what you mean? Or just like fucking really good?
No, just like in the pocket, like Joey Canby when he plays power pop.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I remember. Mm. He was the drummer of Endless Mike.
Shout out to Endless
Mike. Most notable band.
Dude, shout out to fucking Adam Gogola killing it with Blind Adam in the Federal League on tour.
Fuck yeah.
Pretty soon, probably again.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Pat, sick. I also fucking love Crime of Passing. Tell us about that band.
Well, that's a band from Cincinnati who is like, Cincinnati's just got some just killer bands right now, especially from that circle of people. So it's basically all three people from the Surfs, but just with a different primary songwriter, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's just Cincinnati's got something in the water right now in the world.
Yeah,
dude. Hell yeah. That's cool to hear. You know, I honestly, there's times where I feel like I have no idea what's going on. There's times where I feel like I know everything, and like hearing that there's cool shit going on in Cincinnati, that's news to me, and I love Cincinnati.
You know the Vacation, right?
Yeah, of course.
It's
of
the
course.
Drummer of Vacation, Joe?
Hell drummer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's Dylan? Like, he's the main guy in the Surfs, and then cool. He plays drums in Vacation.
And then I think he plays guitar or synth in Crime of Passing.
Right. Yeah, and then he's in the Drin as well.
Have you guys kept up with Vacation?
No.
No,
unfortunately.
I think that Vacation's like, I don't know. Ever since I interviewed Jerry on Better Yet, which was a super early episode, I think that they were like reaching maybe the end of their time with Don Giovanni, and Jerry was like really fucking getting into Guided by Voices and Hickey, and they put out a couple records that are really fucking good and definitely like weird shit. And also that band kind of like really, really crystallized in like 2016, 2017. And I know that the people who joined that band late are all contributing songs and shit too. That was one of the cooler things about interviewing Jerry, actually, was like, I didn't know anybody who was in that lineup of Vacation, but they were all a little bit younger than Jerry. And they were all just like, you could tell that Jerry was just encouraging all those kids to like really, really branch out. And I think about that a lot. It's really inspiring.
Well, So the two people that joined the band, were Dylan, who is in Crime of Passing, and John Hoffman, who actually recorded the Crime of Passing record.
Cool.
Oh.
And he does a lot of recording. He was in that band Dead North.
They did a split with Dead Uncles?
No, they did a split with... who'd they do a split with?
Did Jim put it out?
Jim put out something by Dead North.
Okay, that's where I know Dead North.
Yeah, they did a split with Strong City.
Strong City? Yeah, dude. I remember Strong City. Holy shit, that band was so fucking good. That 7-inch, that Strong City 7-inch, holy shit.
Dead North, Strong City.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So shout out to John Hoffman.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, so like
shout out Hip Kid Records.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Boilerman played with Vacation a lot, so we got to know those guys. And Dead North quite a bit. John Hoffman booked a lot of the Boilerman Cincinnati shows starting when he was like 16 or 17.
Sick.
Known that kid a long time.
So. Joey, had you listened to Crime of Passing yet? I've been pushing it on you.
I know you've been pushing it on me. I had not. Well, I haven't. That's the only song I have heard. But yeah, it was good. I mean, not surprising. It's, you know, having a baby to take care of. sometimes gets in the way of listening
to music.
That's exactly the same sound that she makes, you fucking baby.
And then you finish that off, Pat. What was the
Bitter Branches?
They're Bitter Branches. I like that one too. Hey, you guys got all the songs just on this little Google Doc here. I can not have to worry about remembering. That's neat.
Yeah, it's the best part.
Great workflow.
Yeah, Bitter Branches is a bit of a super group. Singer of Dead Guy.
Love
one of the guitarists of a little known band from the 90s called Calvary. They were kind of like a Wipers, maybe like Revolution Summer type band. Their record Outnumbered is Outflanked is pretty great. And then just recently, the one and only Dan Yemen joined
them.
Oh. On bass.
My hero.
Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know. That kind of hits a sweet spot for me, like kind of like weird Jesus lizardy, angular, post hardcore. And I think Tim Singer is an amazing vocalist.
Yeah, dude, that track was fucking sick. I definitely I peaked with Monster Treasure, but I loved everything that you played, Pat.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think Crime of Passing was my favorite. Bitter Branches was my least favorite, but I still enjoyed it.
That's good to hear. I wasn't sure if you'd like it, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I'm probably not going to go back to listen to it again, to be honest.
That's cool.
Yep.
Hell yeah. Well, I think I'll take over my block unless anyone's got extra thoughts on Bitter Branches or Stockton, California. Let's start this off with one of the great Chicago bands of recent times. It's a band called Stuck, and this song is off of their record Change Is Bad, and boy am I excited for y'all to hear it.
Yeah.
And that was Louisville's Inclination. Bob, you should have just let it keep fading. Come on, Joey. Jeez.
It was done.
Well, I was, that's why I was talking over it. It's called VO. Inclination, a band from Louisville. My buddy Hugo Reyes is a great writer from Chicago, Illinois. And he sent me that record, and I tell you what, I loved it. And I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say about it, because I'm not nearly in this world as much as y'all. So what'd you guys like about that song, or what didn't you like about it?
So I was going to say, I was talking in the chat, that is Louisville and Chicago.
Hell yeah.
Because it features Chris Mills of like Harm's Way, Double Crossed, Few and the Proud. On
I
drums.
Few and the Proud. Opening for Gorilla Biscuits at the Clearwater Theater. First time I ever saw Diego. He was running to the back because someone said, hey, Diego, your sister broke her leg.
No, both of her arms.
Both of her arms.
And it was Siv from Gorilla Biscuits.
Oh, hell Siv, yeah.
Yeah, Siv was like, is there Diego Munoz? Go, please go to the back.
That's so fucking funny.
That was a great show.
Great show. I remember talking to Joey about that. He's like, the only thing that bummed me out was that, like, I didn't think Walter was super into it. And I was like, who the fuck is Walter? I was 20 years old. I didn't fucking know anything. Yeah. I knew I liked Lifetime, and I knew I liked Gorilla Biscuits, and I was... That's about it for me. But... That show, did Murphy's Law play that show?
Yep.
Murphy's Law played that show.
You remember the fucking birthday cake?
It was like the birthday cake.
Yeah, he went
cake.
Over to the bar on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
That was
bummed
a
lot of people out.
You were saying, Jim.
Oh, so the thing that I like the most about that song is that on the cover of that record, Chris Mills is wearing a Knife Fight shirt. That's my favorite part about that.
Fuck yeah.
I love Knife Fight.
Yeah, shout out to an amazing band, California's Own.
LA, man. LA.
Yep.
It's where you're at. Your best friends. That part of my life is kind of in the past. But there are parts that I liked. The part that I didn't like was when there was like kind of like some more cleanish vocals. I don't know, like, I don't, with that style of music, I cannot do clean vocals at all.
Yeah,
it just,
yeah.
Like, everything, like, that reminds me of, like, Hope's Fall, or, like, those kind of, like, early 2000s metalcore bands.
Okay.
That being
really
said,
speak much on that world, but...
That being said, if it didn't have that, I would... been into it a little bit more.
It's
like I kind of like
right?
It kind of like started strong, dipped a little, and then that mosh part was solid.
It's all about the solid mosh.
It was a solid mosh part,
dude. Hell yeah.
It didn't quite hit for me either. Similarly, like, I think like that style of hardcore, like, I was really into when I was younger, and then I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't do much for me.
Yeah.
The beginning sounded a little bit like Turmoil, and that was cool. I agree with Joey. It kind of lost me when it started to get melodic.
Yeah, totally. You know, it's funny. Like, Hugo and I were both sober people. And, you know, when he reached out to me with that track, he's like, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, straight edge music is just like speaking to the part of me that decided to quit drinking. And as an 8-year sober person, like, hearing that from him, I loved diving in with that. Also, like, if I could speak from some perspective, like, from the outside world, I'm a big professional wrestling fan. I went to WWE Royal Rumble in San Antonio last weekend. My wrestling friends are all like punk adjacent people, but favorite band in that crew for the past 3 years has been Turnstile, and it's really, really fucking interesting to me to watch, like, that world, like, really kind of mesh in with other spheres. And that's happening everywhere. We're all kind of experiencing this moment where, like, everybody who does things sort of does a lot of things. But yeah, I don't want to speak too much about the future of Better Yet, as but you know, there's a couple hardcore singers that are wrestling on TV each week, and yeah, just you know, it's exciting to think about, you know, I don't know, engaging with that world a little bit, you know. But that's just me. I'm rambling a little bit.
Well, I was gonna say, if you like that, check out the band Foundation.
Fuck,
like every now and then, like a heavier hardcore band will do it for me, and that band's like, especially their last release before they broke up, similar, but like just straightforward, just like, I don't know, 90s heavy hardcore worship.
Cool.
I'm surprised that you and your wrestling friend's favorite band isn't Fozzy.
I feel a little bad for my wrestling friends who I thought that it was about the fucking funniest thing in the world that y'all listened to Chris Jericho's entrance music on your Best of 22 episode. I'm happy.
I loved it.
I'm so happy that fucking happened.
It was. I kind of knew it was a bit. But I wanted to go along with it anyway.
Well, that's awesome. Just to clarify, Pat, we've been talking in the chat. The 64 wrestling entrance music tournament that is going to happen on this show is no bit. We are going to do that.
Hell yeah.
March Badness. We're going to fucking go through
March
all the
Badness.
Hey, Pat, okay. what'd you think of the fucking Beatles, Pat? How good was that?
Yeah, that was great. Another Tony Molina song that he covered right after Guided by Voices. You know, here's the thing with the Beatles. It's not that I don't like them. It's just that I haven't taken the time to dive. It's just like with old bands like that. They're in the culture. They're there. It's like you hear the song. It's like, all right, I'm fine. You know, it's fine. And I will dive in soon. But I love that track. That was great.
Joey, are you familiar with the music of the Beatles?
Yeah, is that with Paul McCartney and John Lennon?
Yeah, that fucking doofus Paul McCartney sure played the fuck out of the bass on that track, didn't he?
Yeah.
God dude, that, damn.
So, some of the Beatles stuff I'm super, super familiar with. That's on Revolver, right?
That's on Revolver, yes.
I am not very familiar with Revolver, but that song was awesome. Like I'm super familiar with like Abbey Road. Like Abbey Road has been like my album for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I mean like Heather and I listen to Rubber Soul a lot because that's her favorite album.
Yeah, Rubber Soul is definitely a favorite.
Yeah, and like I mean, you know, like I know a lot of the singles, the classics. I'm not very familiar with that song, but I when it got brought up in the Discord the other day, I listened to the song. I was like, "Fuck, this is good,
dude! It's
really, really good.
It's such a fucking cool song. It's on Revolver, which is right after Rubber Soul. Rubber Soul is definitely like." Probably, I would say, if you took a consensus, it's one or two. I think people really, really love Rubber Soul. I think if you look at, like, the music journalist side of things, it's like Sgt. Pepper. But I think the really cool thing about the Beatles is that you can throw a song like that in the middle of a block, and it's like, who the fuck is this? Who is this? And maybe you get it. Maybe you get it because you hear the voice, you recognize it, but, like, that shit's kind of fucking cool. And I'll never forget like the time that I was 21 years old, like hanging out with Austin and Turtle, and halfway through, you know, through this song, I'm like, what song is this? And then I hear, "She was an American girl." And I was like, oh yeah, maybe I should listen to Tom Petty. You know, it's like that reverse engineering of the shit. But it was really funny, Pat, to hear like that you went to the Tony Molina show and he played a GBV cover, a song you didn't know, and then what was it, part of an entombed instrumental?
Yeah. He had to close the set. That was how he ended it. It was so good.
My homie Blue was like, on Twitter a couple hours later was like, man, I just saw Tony Molina cover And Your Bird Can Sing. And I was like, oh, good. My Pat told me, my friend Pat told me about the, you are my Pat. My Pat told me about the other two songs that he played. I'm glad to know that the mystery track was by the Beatles.
Yeah.
My Pat friend told
Joey,
me.
Joey, is Heather obligated to like the Beatles as a Brit?
No.
Is it like when you're born, all, they just, you know, it's just an obligation?
No.
Okay.
No.
I want to throw something out there. Yeah, go ahead. I just got, sorry.
I mean,
on everybody.
I know that America's the freest country, but like, you know,
yeah,
England still has some freedoms. Like being able to choose your favorite bands.
If you guys feel like just throwing something on, put on that Get Back documentary with the Beatles that's on Disney Plus. It's just like them rehearsing. It's what it
Hell
is.
Yeah.
I that's would definitely reason, recommend right? that. Yeah. Peter Jackson took all that footage from the Let It Be movie and he just said, I think the best thing that I can do is to just play it. And use the best camera
add a
angles.
Elves,
yeah, totally.
A couple orcs.
Really, really cool
the
shit.
Hobbits.
But like, you'll see, like, they're having a tough time, and then Billy Preston, who's a fucking wonderful sessions musician, organ player, comes in, joins them, and then like all of a sudden they're having like the best time ever, and they're playing, and it's just all off of this dude who's just like, I'm here to play with the fucking Beatles. Like,
hell yeah,
what is that? You know.
Tim, I have to say that when I first heard Stuck, it was them. They opened for Pyle at the Bottle some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like, okay, everyone's starting to sound like Parquet Courts. That's cool. I get
yeah.
it. I liked that track a lot. It kind of reminded me of, like Chairs Missing era Wire. But just like really Ooh. Great, like angular post-punk. Like that was great.
Dude, hell yeah. Hell yeah on the Wire big time. Joey, what did you think of when you heard Stuck?
Stuck? I loved it. I actually remember I'm like, all right, when I was listening to it, there was something I wanted to say, and I'm like, don't forget it. And I kind of forgot it. but I think when it went a little softer was when I really liked it. I think it maybe was less distorted mm-hmm. and it just mellowed out a little bit. And I'm like, fuck, this is really, really cool. Really catchy.
Dude, hell fucking yeah. Greg is a pro and I'm really excited to go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say, who are these people?
Yeah, dude, Greg Obis.
Who are these people?
Greg Obis.
Well, I mean, they haven't
been
around for 8 years.
Well, Greg has. He was in the band Yeesh, which was a really cool, I guess you might say like an angular kind of band. You know what? Yeesh is a great counterpoint to Meatwave, where Meatwave sort of like found a lane and went there. I think Yeesh was the band that never really got appreciated in their time, but I think that that bands like Meatwave, Milk Belly, they all loved Yeesh. They cared about him. I think David Anthony was his favorite band when we started doing podcasts together. And yeah, Greg's been a recording engineer and now he's a mastering engineer at Chicago Mastering Service, which is Bob Weston's place. And he started this band Stuck that you know, people clicked with right away. And it was a really neat conversation to have with this dude where I was like, yo, you were in Yeesh and like fucking that band like meant so much. And he was like, yeah, it's thanks. And then he starts this band Stuck and he was just like, I could just tell it was clicking. So I just like went with it. And we talk a lot about bands like Wire, that clean guitar tone where he's a smart dude. He knows what he's doing with his chords and like what a weird clean chord can do. And also, Joey, maybe this is what you had in mind, but like that band's got some really cool rhythms too. And I think that's a really, really neat aspect that they bring into post-punk that is sometimes missing with like modern post-punk bands is like, yeah, listen to Gang of Four, man, listen to those rhythms, they're all weird.
The yeah, bass struck me immediately, mm-hmm, on that track. Yeah,
Greg played the bass on that record too. He fucking knew what he was doing. And yeah, big one we talk about is Devo, because he yeah, and I like were just able to connect on like, yo, Devo was like the most perversive band in Ohio, even when Pere Ubu was a progressive band from Ohio. So
yeah,
I love talking to folks, y'all. You should check out Better Yet. Check out my interview with Greg, and also like that dude Masters Records if you ever need a mastering engineer. Glad if I could say one more thing before we get off. It just popped into my head maybe the first time listening to this song, but go back again if you want to listen to And Your Bird Can Sing by the Beatles. Listen to that walk down in the chorus, because that's I'll Be You by the Replacements. He fucking directly rips off that walk down, because it's G to F sharp to F and then to E minor.
Nice.
That F is weird.
I did want to say, Tim, thank you for getting our podcast pulled off of all podcast platforms by playing a Beatles song.
Oh, hell kidding. Yeah. We'll talk after. I know you guys are doing this on Sprout, but fucking betteryetpod.com hosts all kinds of podcasts. So, you know, maybe we could start doing that here.
A little post-production.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Nice. All right, my turn. We're going to take it over to Germany, and we're going to listen to this band that I just found out about this week called Kasi Muller with the song Innen Ohne.
Oh,
Yo, that was a fresh new track by Singapore's own Sial. And that song was Sia Sia. And before that was TV Repairman from Sydney, Australia with the song Bus Stop. And we started that off with Kossi Müller Innen Onnen. And they're from Germany.
Great block, bro.
Yeah.
That was fucking
It would sound better if you had your own man cave.
It would sound better in a man cave, Joey. Y'all, we were talking in the Zoom chat about how Joey needs a man cave. It's definitely true. He's got a loving wife and a young child. Bro just needs a chance to like
be a bro.
Yeah, dude, just bro like hang out with some neon signs.
Let that testosterone fly.
Yeah.
Neon signs.
Neon signs. Yo, well, TV Repairman is maybe the best band name that I've seen in quite some time. That is spelled, everyone, T-E-E-V-E-E, Repairman. Fucking brilliant shit. Really, yeah, really, really brilliant stuff.
It was like immediate, just, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely just hit, so, like, right away. If you guys have listened to this show before, I have played
assume that nobody has
one of the guys from, well, the TV Repairman, like, is basically kind of like one guy doing all the songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And he also plays and writes for GT.
Cool.
No, GV.
GV?
Wait, is it GV, GT? The fuck? GT. Which I did.
Which is
spelled
GT.
G-E-E.
Dude, I
T-E-E.
This is my new hero.
Yeah. So this dude fucking rips, man. Everything he does. GTRRC is fucking sick as hell, too. The Satanic Togas.
Research Reactor Corporation.
Fucking
dude,
good.
This is a world.
He's a witty dude for sure.
Yeah, definitely like all up on that egg punk shit, man. It's like
egg punk shit.
It's like that synthy punk shit, like kind of nice, like
that's a like, it's a pocket for you, like that's your sweet spot,
dude. This block is kind of where I've been at for the past like 5 years,
dude. Hell yeah,
maybe longer.
The Kossi Müller didn't really do much for me, but I immediately was like, oh yeah, of course Joey loves this.
Dude, that TV Repairman song could have come out in 1966. It could have come out like in 2010. That's a song that just makes you fucking love songs.
Yeah, 100%. The whole record's great. You can get it on Total Punk. This past Friday was Bandcamp Friday, and I was like, I want to spend some money. I haven't been to a record store in a really long time. Can't get away from the wife and the kid, you know?
Yeah, dude.
And so I spent like $400 on fucking records on Bandcamp Friday, and
hell,
I got all three of these and the outro music that we'll talk about in a bit. Those are four of like the 12 or something things that I got. The reason it's $400 is because shipping to Japan is fucking stupid as well. So about a quarter of
all
that.
All right,
is,
nobody cares about that part.
A quarter of that shipping at least. But that Kossi Müller stuff, I found out about, just shout out to Bandcamp, because I follow a lot of...
Shout out to Bandcamp.
Dude, Bandcamp is fucking sick, man.
Yo, don't take for granted, for granted that is a website that is full of journalists, and I've been lucky enough to, like, get a feature on Bandcamp for Better Yet, and I was just so
Jim,
cared for like
Jim writes
that.
For Bandcamp as
yep.
well mm-hmm. still does
he still sometimes. Does yeah, yeah he still does
no Bandcamp's great it's what I use
wait
for
Jimothy
stream-
does
yeah Jimothy
mm-hmm.
oh the one and
it's
only
what
Jimothy.
I use for streaming instead of Spotify too so
that
hell
rocks
yeah.
dude
yeah
everybody can listen to Better Yet on Bandcamp as well betteryetpodcast.bandcamp.com
oh no shit
Yeah. You can check out all of our interviews and more.
Shout out to Bandcamp, because I follow a lot of like labels and bands.
Yeah.
And anything I come across, I'm just like fucking click that follow button. And there's this German label called Static Age Records, and they put out this like synth punk band Aus a long time ago. I liked it, listened to it. I'm like, oh cool, I'll check out this record label. They got a nice Misfits reference. And so every once in a while I get an email from them being like, hey, we released this shit. And I got this the other day and I was just like, hell yeah, I really like this. And so I bought it.
That rules, dude.
That fucking rules.
I did a little research on Bandcamp Friday yesterday myself, and unfortunately Fozzie doesn't have a Bandcamp, so I didn't really have anywhere to spend my money on Bandcamp, but it's cool that you did. But I, honestly, for real, like I have been more and more, as I get older and I learn to let go a little bit, I am really like taking in things like Bandcamp, who have filled that spot of places where you can go and listen to music and try and learn, but you don't have to try very hard. And they do a really good job of putting stuff in front of you. And I don't know, I just I'm having a pretty great moment of just like appreciating a lot in my life right now, and knowing that Bandcamp is just able to just put stuff in front of me, keep me updated on shit, and also like if I want to get into experimental music that came out in 2022, they have a great spot for it. And
I like how they do like those, like I think it's like monthly or weekly recaps of like the top many artists in this genre, and it'll
I really agree. Like going through coding boot camp, I was like, I want to listen to music, but I fucking have to try, and I don't have like the ability to do that the way that I have. And those Bandcamp features were so great for just like putting on something that I needed for the background, or putting on like new punk music that I wasn't really able to hear of through my normal lens because I was so busy. So I don't know. I just want to like, I don't know, acknowledge that and like take in some appreciation, because Bandcamp fucking changed everything in 2010 by just hosting music. And now they're, in my opinion, the best web publication for new music, full stop.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's cool. Hell That's yeah. fucking cool.
100%. And they, you know, didn't take any of the $400 that I spent the other day, because it was Bandcamp Friday and supporting artists, you know?
Yeah. And that not fucking rules. And I was pretty happy to kind of go back after the, you know, and they got bought by a bigger company, and I was able to go back into, you know, the Better Yet Bandcamp and continue like I had before. And honestly, like, I was worried about going in, and I post long episodes, right? I'm at the time limit. I'm close to the time limit on some of these, or close to the file size limit. And I was really fucking worried that, like, oh, new company's going to come in and they're going to say, you don't need 600 megabytes. Like, try and do 200 and fit that into FLAC. But I'm, like, grateful that nothing changed when I went back.
Right,
I'm sure that stuff has changed, but from an artist's perspective, nothing changed. And that was very reassuring.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And I guess, see y'all. I know Pat knows that band. Tim, are you familiar with them?
I honestly was a little let down, because I thought that the name of the band was Sia with an exclamation point, and we were listening to Sia Sia by Sia, but we were close. So it's like, it is still cool. I really, really like that track too, Joey.
Nice.
The best, one of the best hardcore punk bands going right now?
Yeah, definitely.
Top five for sure.
So they have a new 7-inch coming out on La Vida Es Un Muse, one of the
sponsors of the show, right?
It can't be a Radio Hour without Punk Supply, one of us playing. Yeah.
Yeah, International Punk Supply favorite label, top five label.
Do they ship to Japan for cheap? I don't know. You should let them know that you're plugging their bands every week on your podcast and see if they'll send you some records for free.
That's true. I don't think they need that help. Everything I think sells out pretty much. Yeah. I've got that new Belgrado record coming with the Belgrado shirt, and then the last band, Reeks, that's gonna be the outro. I got their new 7-inch. But Seattle, new 7-inch coming out next week. It sounds like a Seattle record, and that's all I want.
I gotta say, it was a fairly straightforward song. I feel like the last things they've done, especially that last 7-inch, was very like experimental for them, like longer songs and kind of playing with kind of like, they remind me of Destino Final going into Una Bestia, right? Like, kind of straightforward, like, D-beat adjacent hardcore punk band that gets, like, really into, like, cultural influences of where they're from. Like, so Una Bestia playing, like, some reggaeton beats and, like, or cumbia or whatever. And then, like, Seattle just started playing with, like, weird elements in their songs as well that I'm sure are, you know, from Singapore, right?
They're from Singapore, yeah.
Yeah. That last 7-inch was just like, I was so excited to see where they go from there. The song's great. I'm just waiting for some more weird shit from them.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. They it's a 5-song 7-inch, and they've released 2 songs.
Yeah.
I liked this one a little bit more than the other song. But yeah, I mean, like, this band is definitely like that Barcelona scene.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Definitely Destino Final. Una Bestia.
I think they started like that, and I think they've started to like become their own thing and like find their own voice, especially with their last LP and last 7-inch. But yeah, fucking incredible band.
Yeah.
That was dope. I really like Pat's perspective on expectations for the release. It's really cool that you're like, yeah, that straightforward track was fucking cool, but I'm waiting for the weird stuff. That's how you know that you're fucking into a band.
Hell yeah.
I like that shit a whole lot, and yeah, thanks for sharing it with me.
Yeah, and we're gonna end things today with another La Vida Es Un Muse release. Ricks.
Is you guys it know Rixie? Him?
I don't fucking know. It's French shit. I thought it was Ricks.
Where's our French contingent at?
I don't know.
Merci wherever you're listening. That's how you say thank you in French, you guys. You should know your fucking international podcast. Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
All of mine are international. Well, yeah. Not American.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Thanks for having me on the show. Everyone check out betteryetpod.com. Shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Bandcamp, betteryetpodcast.bandcamp.com. And it's a fucking joy to spend time with y'all. And I got 3 entrance themes written on the whiteboard here. And, you know, 60, what's 64 minus 3? Anyway, so we got Ric Flair, which is Thus Spoke Zarathustra. You guys fans of Strauss, colloquially, it's the theme from 2001 A Space Odyssey. But anyway, more of that to come. Thanks, y'all, for joining us on the podcast.
All right. I'll see you. I love you guys. This is
always
Rick's
a pleasure.
Love you.
Les Saint Pas. Les Saint Pas.
Les Saint Pas. You're what the French might call Les Saint Pas. Listen. What the French might call.